Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is LaVon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, host of USHROD Radio, reminding you that Jesus is the Lord, and this is a wonderful Sunday evening that we're coming tonight to discuss the Word of God, and we're going to continue our yearly theme on the Great Manifesto, which is the year, understanding the year of the manifestation that's been declared by way of revelation to the men and women of God all across the world. This is an era of manifestation, and we need to know what to do, what it means, how to operate in it. And part of this manifestation is revealing what has been established. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight in the fourth primary of this particular lesson, the Great Manifesto. I'm delighted to be in the scriptures and to find myself exhausted in the revelation of his word. It is the word that I have hid in my heart that keeps me alight and focused into the plans that he has, not only for myself, but for this particular ministry. And I thank you for listening tonight. If you're listening by phone, please call 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. And if you listen to my internet, for some reason you have to get off the internet, you can listen by phone. And you can also pass that number and spread that number around and let everyone know that they can always listen to us by phone. So that way they don't have to. They don't have to be limited to the internet. The internet is also good for you to download the previous teaching on this particular lesson. I always tell you at the first of the month to often revisit the introductory series to this particular lesson, which was called The Hour of Manifesto. The Hour of the Manifesto. And it explains what we're discussing all year round. In addition to that, it gives us a good primary foundation as to what it means to declare manifestation. And in this particular year, we've already discussed the first portion of this year, and this is what we're concluding the first division of this teaching today, which is manifested faith. And we've talked about establishing proper grounds for faith. We've talked about establishing the divine knowledge through wisdom that is needed for faith. And we also talked about embodying Christ for faith's sake. And then tonight I'm going to give you our lesson in a moment. So keep listening to the program. We have a system that we go by, and I teach you the Word of God in a systematic fashion so that way you will not only be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word and have a reference point for you to locate in the scripture that will help you in ministry as ministers of the gospel and also help you know what you believe. Recently, the Lord has impressed on me to get very doctrinal. Doctrinal meaning instruction in righteousness pertaining to the scriptures, the rightly divided word of God. And because if it can be rightly divided, it can also be wrongly divided. And, you know, in all of our busy schedules, we have purposed to set aside time to study the Word of God. And we study the Word of God by way of internet radio and by way of this phone. And I want you to begin to listen on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday nights at 11. However, this week, there's a special thing going on, and you know it's our Leadership Institute. So we want you to join us each night from Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., and we're going to be on for 1 hour, and we're going to be discussing leadership. My capable executive president of the organization is going to be assisting me in the conference study, and she's going to give the ministry aspect of leadership and deal with some other areas of leadership as the Spirit reveals to her biblically and practically, as she always does. And I'm going to say something in a second, and then I'm going to give some leadership. I'm going to be coming in a different vein. I'm coming as a businessman, and I'm going to give you some legitimate business principles, step by step, flat out, blunt things that will help you not only in ministry but in leadership and understand some things. And one of the things that we're going to be dealing with strategic, the awakening of spiritual strategic leadership in times of recession. My whole session, and then some more other sessions. But I want you to join us each night, Monday through Friday, the 4th through the 8th of May at 6 p.m. I've been advertising it online. I'm sure many of you have heard it. Spread the word. We're going to be on at 6 p.m. So do not look for us on Tuesday and Thursday at 11 p.m. because you won't hear us unless you go on the Internet and download what we've already displayed. So keep listening. Now, come next week, we're concluding on the consecration, and I'm going to give another lesson on the consecration on Sunday, and then from the 10th of May to the July 30th, we're going to be studying godliness like you have never understood systematically before, because we're going in the light of the scripture for these times, as the Lord has set apart time for us to study his word specifically on godliness and the realities of righteousness. I'm excited about that particular teaching. The Lord has been prepping me for it, this for a very long time. And I think now, as I go through the study a little before you, I'm seeing the vitality of the word in various forms. Now, tonight I have an assignment from the Lord that is going to enlighten us. It's going to conclude the first portion and the phase of teaching, which is manifesting Christ. And then we're going to go next month into manifesting our faith, rather, for the great manifesto. And then we're going to go into the next primaries of the great manifesto next month in June and July and August and September. And then we're going to go into the final portion in October, November, and December. And I guarantee you your life is never going to be the same as a result of what you heard about this year manifestation. Because in 2010, we're going to be eradicating sin. I just came up with that in my head. I didn't use that as a theme for next year. We're not going to live in a sin state. And ministers of the gospel, it's time for us to step up and to stand up and to be what God has ordained us to be. Well, tonight I'm going to take you to some loaded passages. So I want you to jot them down, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get directly in tonight's lesson. And we are continuing the series of the Great Manifesto. Tonight's article of foundation will be in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 23, and chapter 3, verses 4 and verses 10 through 17. And I also want you to jot down Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, and 17 through 18, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, and Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 18, and then we'll conclude by the Spirit of God in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9 and 13 through 15. And these scriptures are so impacted with the Word of God that I'm just so overwhelmed. I would encourage you to study this after the lesson, not only for the sake of getting through the material of the lesson, but just commit to studying them. They're going to bless your life, and I believe tonight's lesson is really going to help you as a minister to God's precious people for these great and precious times. Well, let's look to the Lord as we continue. And, of course, you know we're going to go to Luke 18, 17, and 18. And we may visit Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But let's look to the Lord and get the Holy Spirit involved in tonight's lesson and go straight into the lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for those who have covenanted with me to study the Word of God as ministers of the gospel, who regularly minister and display the vocation and sacredness of your ministry. I pray that their ears are anointed to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. I do covenant with the Holy Spirit as educator and guide tonight to speak through my mind and deliberate through my thoughts, clear articulation of speech, and continuity of the scriptures that you have made known and relevant for this lesson. I do covenant with the Holy Spirit that I would be led exclusively by him in the fashion in which he would display to your precious people. Tonight, Father, I ask for a special anointing on the ears, hearers, that they would be anointed to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And you alone, Father, will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name that is above every name, the precious name of Jesus, that I do pray and give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we are on a particular series called The Great Manifesto, or The Great Manifestation, underlining the understanding of what it means to declare a year to be the year of manifestation. 2009 manifestation time has been declared all over the world that God is going to bring about some things on the earth that we need to take note of and to be cognizant of as we walk the walk of the Lord. And it is that walk that I'm talking to you tonight in the particular lesson of manifesting our faith. And we've talked of various things as it pertains to manifesting our faith and embodying the nature and the attribute of the Lord Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It is our continuing mission to advance in the given knowledge that has been designated to produce proof that our profession of faith is congruent to the character of Christ in communication, consecration, and compliance to divine sovereignty. And how have we gone through this particular phase of teaching? And I believe we're entering into a new realm of understanding as we allow the Word of God to be final authority over our affairs. Just before I get into the lesson, I want to usurp and kind of coin in here my appreciation. On Thursday, I was in need of some serious rest, and the Lord was restoring some strength to me. I've been on a new regimen of exercise and activity, and I was really in need of some rest. And our executive president, the president of our organization, Urban Glory Campaign, Selena Olivia, took my lesson on the courageous consecration and introduced us into the call of consecration that we're going into May 10th through the 30th of July. And I wanted to thank her openly, because those who do things secretly should be rewarded openly, for her efforts and going through the entire lesson to help me in ministry. And that's very important when you have a team of supporters. I have a growth staff that really supports me because they're led by the Holy Ghost to help me. And that's why I call them my ghost staff, that helps me and can come in and just take on the nature of this ministry. And whether you know it or not, there's a lot more to it than just coming on here and giving you some scriptures. There's a lot that goes with this particular organization, and so I wanted to thank her for taking on the responsibility that I have for this ministry on Thursday night. And that's, you know, that's our prime night for the ministry, because that's the program designated night that we have. If any other night goes, that night is the prime time. And so I appreciate that, and I wanted her to know that, and I want all of you to know that it's very important that you give honor to where honor is due. And when someone comes on your behalf and speaks in your ministry, it's important that you thank them openly and let people know that they didn't have to do it, but they took it on. And, you know, it's even more challenging when you have the responsibility to go with a curriculum that has already been established, because you're not giving your own opinion. You're speaking literally what the Lord has purposed and prepare that person. And when I have someone speak, I don't just loosely give them my platform. So I gave my notes, and she did a better job on the notes. It took me about three lessons to get through for me to get through the lesson, and she got through the whole lesson in one lesson. And so I thank God for it, and I'm excited. I would encourage you to download it because I want you to just learn how to follow instructions as ministers. Sometimes you're going to be called. Why am I going here? Praise God. Maybe the Lord wants me to share all of this for some reason. Glory to God. Well, when you're called on for ministry, then sometimes you're given assignments. And, you know, the reason why God can bless some of you with your own ministry is because you're not faithful in somebody else's ministry. Faithful being completely devoted and loyal in doing what they have described as the vision for their ministry. Even you as pastors who assume the role of pastor, there may come a time in your ministry where you might be assigned to go minister at somebody else on their behalf and take their notes and minister the word that God has given them in their stead. And that's a time of testing. And one of the statements that I made earlier this year, and I made it on the last few lessons, is that you as ministers need to not confuse. And you can look at the series Empowering the Preacher's Prayer Life, but you need to make sure that you don't confuse the confidence that is established in Christ Jesus with your arrogance, that because you can function and exemplify the persona of preaching, that you don't embed yourself in the character that's found in the confidence of Christ. So you need to make sure that you do that. Now, that has nothing to do with my lesson tonight. It kind of does, because it is part of the manifestation. Part of manifestation is integrity. That's why. And that's what establishes, thank God for help, glory to God. I tell you, my ghost staff is just wonderful. But part of us operating in the realm of manifestation is our integrity. And I thank God for that. Amen. Well, tonight's lesson is the fourth primary of this particular passage or teaching on manifesting faith, because one of the things that will be manifested in this particular time is the quality of our faith. And, of course, you know, we are producing proofs in our lifestyle, by our way of life, that our profession of faith is congruent to our character, which is established in Christ, in communication, consecration, and compliance to sovereignty. So that's very important. But tonight's lesson is entitled Empowering the Message of Being Complete in Him. Empowering the message of being complete in Him. What does it mean to be complete in Christ? And we often, you know, as ministers, you need to understand exactly what it means, because when people talk about establishing relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as the Lord, there's an expectation of God by way of conduct of how they should commit their walk to the Lord. Commit your thoughts, and not only your walk, but even your thought life. The Bible says, commit your thoughts unto the Lord, and so shall your way be established. We need to understand that there's a manner and there's an expectation of God for us to understand what it means to be complete in Him. For it is that method that empowers us to walk out what we profess, that produces the proofs of our faith that makes our walk congruent to Him, and makes our character compliant with Him, and makes our consecration valid, and makes our compliance to what He says valid in our lives. There has to be meaning to the Christian experience that takes us beyond the religious rhetoric, and that's what this particular lesson is talking about. When we talk about manifesting faith, we are empowering the message of being complete in Him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not come abroad. So that's why we're studying manifestation. But we have to understand the instruction that comes after this profound statement given by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So we need to understand that there's a manifestation that is ordained to take place in our lives. And as we study what it means to manifest, we're going to find out the quality of our faith is essential to this great manifestation. And in that quality of faith, we will understand what it means to be empowered by as the message of being complete in Him being Christ Jesus. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Let's go to our foundation. It's a very healthy passage, but I think in the end you will find it very rewarding as you walk with the Lord. Colossians chapter 2. And ye therefore receive, as ye therefore have received Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, you know that was a scripture that we had a few months ago. As ye therefore have received Christ, so walk Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, there abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Wherein ye for in him, who is that? Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete. What does it say? We are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom ye also have circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, where ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Glory to God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of the flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it off of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, glory to God, made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, not holding the head from which all the body and the joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though ye are living in the world, are subject to their ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed in me a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to satisfying of the flesh. But here's the conclusion of the matter. If ye be risen with Christ, hallelujah, seek those things above where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. And of course, you know, skip down to verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we also shall appear with him in glory. Tonight I want to talk to you about what it means to be complete in him. The fruit of our faith is the message which reveals the reality of Christ that we embody in the flesh. Our understanding this principle as an advantage will translate a religious experience to a righteous relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. When we know who we are And we know why we are who we are, and because we are because of who we are and who made us who we are. We can then exemplify this advantage in principle, fortified by the scriptures, that lets us know that there's a power that takes us above and beyond the natural because we're found in him. Colossians opens up this dialogue by saying, look, there are many people in this world that live out of vain philosophies, out of rudiments, out of traditions of men, out of doctrines of men, that causes you to distort, listen to this carefully, the manner in which your will should worship. And because of that, the embracing of the Lord Jesus, when Jesus is presented to you as a route of a higher realm or influence, has been distorted from being embodied to just an appreciation. So when people at salvation, quote unquote, accept, quote unquote, that Jesus was raised from the dead and that they've accepted him as Lord, when they hear things like this, and I'm going on, but I'm going to hit this point, we kind of nullify this union of the body that should take place in this dispensation, in this present time, in this present fashion, what it means to be in Christ. Because, and of course you understand that Christ is not Jesus' last name, because we already talked about in the last lesson that our embodying the work and the reality of the Lord Jesus reveals how to ascribe to his divine nature, which gives us the means for faith. And that Jesus, that the reality of Jesus is the manifestation of our faith. It is Jesus' display of how he walked and his eternal offering for redemption that justifies our credence to commit our lifestyle to exemplifying who he is. Jesus is this nature. What does this mean to be complete in him? First of all, we got to understand that Jesus accomplished a lot of things on the cross, and that it wasn't a religious experience, but it was a relationship that afforded righteousness for us to come in the presence of God and to find out who we are, what we have, what we can do, when we can do it. Glory to God. And so it becomes the fruit of our faith. I'm excited about this particular lesson. Now, I want you to understand that Colossians, turn with me back to chapter 3, and let's read verses 4 and then 10. It says, look, when Christ becomes our life. So this is a definition. I'm going to give you two definitions in tonight's lesson of what Christ is beyond you knowing it as divine ability. That's one facet of the word and the nature of Christ. But Christ is our life. This is what it means to be complete in him. And if he had not raised from the dead or at Calvary, we would not be complete in him. But you have to understand that Calvary was not a religious work, it was a finished work. It is not a perpetual experience, but the work that happened at Calvary completed it. He offered everything that needed to be offered to reconcile man to God once and for all. And we are to walk out that complete manifestation of the earth. Not as something that is being perpetually introduced to us, but something that has been complete and that is revealed in us. And you know what? Glory to God. Despite what the world and what the religious sect has, because they have not allowed Christ to saturate their thinking, to saturate their soul, to saturate their body, you are complete in Christ Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, the scripture says, the Lamb was slain. So you are complete. You were not born into sin. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. That was David's confession, and it should not be your confession. You are created in the righteousness of God, made alive in God, and you have been served under that lie that sin. then tries to introduce to distort what God has done in your life. And when you allow the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to be made evident in your life, you'll find a greater quality of your relationship with God beyond a religious experience. But it will be a path of righteousness that he has ordained to establish a relationship with God. What does that mean? That's what this particular lesson says. We are empowered because of that message that we have. What is Jesus? He is our message. And what he did accomplished everything we needed to have this life that overcomes the world, our faith. Glory to God. And so in chapter 3, verse 4, it says, look, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we also shall appear with him in glory. Now, glory is not just indicative of an eternal resting place, but it is a state and a quality of being here on earth as it is in heaven. And verses 10 through 17, I got to get through this lesson quick, and have put on the new man, which is renewed. See, we got to put on this new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put therefore on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man has any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let this word, see, this is what's going to happen. As a result of you getting into the word of God, understanding what it means to, first of all, identify Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? But you, before you can learn what it means to be in Christ, you need to learn what it means to what it means to be Christ, period. And that's what we discussed in the last lesson concerning the great manifestation. And what happens is this one of the things that manifesting faith does, and Lord, please let me get through this lesson tonight, because you know I have a whole lot more, but I'm going to be led by your spirit. This is just a preparation for me. But one of the things that Christ does, hallelujah, when you understand what Christ does, Christ is, this is what kept coming up in my spirit as I was studying, Christ is translucent. He's the ability, the essence of God, the manifestation. It's the core of manifestation. Christ is the core of manifestation. So when we declare this year to be the year of manifestation, we're really saying this is the year that God releases the revelation of Christ. This is the year that we know that we put together our actions, our commitment, our conversation, our communication, our lifestyle, our pattern of work into conformity to the nature of Christ. We are partakers of the divine nature. And so this particular lesson, I want you to go back and study Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 23 and 3, 4, and 10 through 17, because in that we see a summary of the advantages of having Christ in our life, because he's the fruit of our faith, and that's the message, his reality. And when we understand it, it's an advantage that will translate late religious experiences, just professions of the words, the traditions of men, which make the word of God of no effect, reality. It'll make it a relationship, a righteous relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, really helps us understand what it means to be complete in him. So tonight's lesson, for our first point, we want to talk about being complete in him. Who? Christ. We're complete in Christ. So being complete establishes the model and motivation, Christ, as the fruit we have spiritually to prevail as supernatural beings. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. And I, you know, I'm giving you the foundational scriptures of understanding the nature of Christ, and I would encourage you to teach on this particular thing to whenever you minister. I tell you, we live greater than, you know, the rejection of knowledge causes dispensational degeneration to occur in the intended godliness that God ordains for our life. And the Christian experience that we say, and I like saying the Christian experience because when you begin to discover what Christ is and how it pertains to you, one, you're going to rely totally on the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find out whatever you got to do, you're going to do whatever you got to do to, first of all, to be found in the Lord Jesus. And then secondly, you're going to see a quality of life because Christ appears as our life. So then the Christian experience is ordained, if you will, for life, to reveal the manner in which you should live. So being complete establishes the model and the motivation, Christ as the fruit we have spiritually to prevail as supernatural beings. We are not natural beings experiencing supernatural phenomena. We are supernatural beings existing in humanity to reveal the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we need to understand we're spirit. God sees us as spirit. And those who desire to have fellowship with God must approach him and manifest that quality in their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 also helps reveal these things. Let me read 2 through 5 with you right quick. It says, "Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all. For as much as ye manifestly declare to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Now go down to verse 17 and verse 18. "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Number one, Christ is the proof, the pattern, and the portion that the Spirit inscribes in the flesh to reveal our relationship we have with God as our sufficiency. The revelation of his Lordship, being Jesus, releases the Spirit in us to grant the liberty that signifies our freedom in him. And in Christ is where God commands enlightenment to occur, to reveal his glory and the excellency of his power in earthen vessels. Turn with me to chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And, of course, you know it goes into that preacher's eye. Skip down to verse 13. "We have in the same spirit of what? Faith, according to as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also Or raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perishes, our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that which are not seen? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And of course, for we know that our earthly house, and of course, you know, we have a building made by God. But I love this particular passage because it lets us know that there's a treasure in us, in earthen vessels. What's that treasure? Being complete in Christ. Hallelujah. So being complete in Christ, let it be, reveals, and it lets us know that the nature of the ministry of the Lord Jesus is given to us, all who are in him, to manifest his ministry in connection with being in him. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's go to 14 through 21. And, of course, being in Christ reveals the true nature of mankind, revealing to us why it is important for us to receive Jesus as Lord. And our completeness in Christ gives us a comprehension divinely, revealing the scheme of reconciliation, which also is why he commits his words to us. And in Christ, being in Christ commits us to his ministry, establishes the validity to why we are being made his righteousness. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, we see these principles. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto them the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Not only the righteousness of God, but the righteousness of God in him. Why? Because we're empowering the message, which is Christ, as our reality, being found complete in him. I pray the word is really blessing you in this particular portion of teaching. And I want to conclude at this point. I could say more, but I have to stop very soon. Hallelujah. But being in Christ reveals the means and the mystery of the importance of the Spirit-led life. That's what it means to be complete in him. It's the manifestation of the mystery and the means of being led exclusively by the Holy Spirit. And we'll conclude in these particular portions, Romans 8, verses 3 through 18, and Philippians 3, 7 through 9, and 13 through 15. In Christ, we receive the know-how of the Christian experience, which is the substance of our faith and the evidence of the knowledge that cannot be naturally perceived. In Christ, the role of the Spirit is explained and with a clear description in Scripture to confirm why we must be led by the Spirit to be identified with Christ. And in Christ is the answer to what it means to have a life as a child of God. In Romans, the 8th chapter, I tell you, you can get something out of the whole chapter of Romans, but for discipline's sake, we're going to read verses 3 through 18, and I'm going to try not to commentate. I'm just going to give you the scripture because I can preach on this. You know, all of us who are preachers, we can preach on this. And it says in the Word of God, for the law, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, there go, in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they which are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they which are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, there it goes. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also. This is not a suggestion. This is not just a progressive revelation. But it shall quicken your mortal body. It shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many that are led of the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Let me keep reading. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not in the future, but the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. And in Philippians, hallelujah, I'm excited about the word. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed to know that I'm empowered because I'm complete in him. And Jesus finishes his work. He finishes his business. He said it is finished, and it was finished. And it was finished so much that we are finished in him. And if we would allow him to be Lord, or really be Lord of our life, and not just a mere leader, but Lord, hallelujah, Lord, ruler, controller, sustainer, motivator, equipper in our life, We're going to see what it means and know to live is Christ and to die to the world and the fleshly things, hallelujah, is gain. My God from Zion. Well, turn with me to Philippians. I want to close with this passage. I don't know about you, but I was blessed by the word today. And I pray that the word did not fall on deaf ears. But Philippians, the third chapter. And we'll read verses 7 through 9 and 13 through 15. And it concludes this lesson appropriately. Hallelujah. Praise your Father. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted for, counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Hallelujah. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, hallelujah, of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if any other thing you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Why? We're empowered because of the message of being complete in him. Hallelujah. Well, I'm out of time for tonight's lesson, and I trust and I thank the Holy Spirit for assisting me in this particular message. You know, I'm going to, when I get an opportunity, speak on this very same lesson, and I'm going to speak on it in another vantage point. But tonight I'm delighted that in the course of the first 5 months of the year, we've studied on manifesting what it means to truly have faith, what faith is all about. We don't go to the other suggestions of the academic and the accelerated activity that is assumed to quote-unquote faith movement. But we go to the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus, to establish faith in God. He's the substance and the evidence of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And when we allow God to, first of all, purpose within us to continue in the things which we have heard, which are pertaining to the reality and the redemption of the Lord Jesus, and not only to continue, but to be established in in that wisdom and that knowledge that we've received from God, we can then embody what it means, embody the glory of the reality of Christ. And then we can be empowered by that message because we're complete in him. And that's what makes our faith, faith. Continue listening to the broadcast. Continue to listen review some of the previous teachings on the Great Manifesto. We're going to go into, in the next volume of studies, Manifesting the Spirit-Filled Life. And, of course, we concluded in the last portion of Manifesting Faith. And in Manifesting Faith, we are empowering the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for just acknowledging it, but knowing that when we allow the Spirit of God to be the leader, we can embody and exemplify the quality of life that he intends for us. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for everything that you have spoken tonight. And I pray that they would not only hear the word tonight, but go back and study this word for themselves to have a clear understanding on their faith, to have a clear understanding on what it means to be in this year that has been declared manifestation. And that they would understand that there is a great endowment of the Spirit and power and all authority in us manifesting the quality of life that you have ordained for us in this time. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your assistance in tonight's lesson. I thank you for the power that was afforded under the deliberation tonight. Hallelujah. Praise your Father. In Jesus' precious name. Well, I'll see you Monday all week. We're going to be on the Leadership Institute. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I don't even know how to contain all of what I'm going to be discussing. I get to discuss as a businessman. And I'm going to have someone else discuss as a ministry person. Hallelujah. So just join us next week. Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast, and we'll see you in the future. God bless you. Bye-bye.